Hello and welcome to the Final Girls Horror Cast, the show where we review some of the horror, thriller, and sci-fi movies currently available on your favorite streaming sites. I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
Today we're going to take a look at Adam Wingard's 2014 thriller, The Guest, which is currently streaming on Netflix, as well as David Robert Mitchell's very popular horror film from 2015, It Follows, which can currently be found on Hulu. Carly, how did you feel about The Guest? Did you like it?
I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it. I'm super surprised I didn't hear about it before. And, you know, I know we've talked about this, that I kept on seeing it pop up on Netflix, and I kept on thinking that it was Bradley Cooper.
It doesn't look like Dan Stevens at all. It really doesn't. No. And I did the same thing. That movie's been up forever, and every time I saw it pop up, I was like, that does not look good. Like, I just kept passing over it until people were like, no, dummy, it's a good movie, watch it. And it is.
And it was very good. It was wonderful.
It really is. Let's see. What happened this week? The new Ring, the Rings trailer came out. Did you get to watch that?
I did. I'm excited about it. I really liked. I don't remember the second one. Was the second one with Sarah Michelle Gellar?
No.
Did I make that up in my head?
No, you're thinking of The Grudge.
You're right. I am thinking of The Grudge.
they kind of blend together.
I saw, because they came out, like, at around the same time,
No, the second one has Naomi Watts in it, too.
Okay.
But it's not good. The first one I liked a lot.
I liked the first one a lot, too.
I liked the Japanese versions, too. I just, I don't know, I think this trailer looks pretty good. There's, you know, they're taking it to the internet, it looks like, and...
Which is interesting.
Yeah.
And, like, a little weird to me, but I'm, like... I'm not put off. Like, I'm still on board. It's just, like, a little weird.
Yeah, it is.
How did it, I don't know. I really liked the VHS-ness of it.
Right.
Because it made it seem like, oh, you would, you know, you might go to an old, weird, woodsy hotel and find this, like, random videotape in, like, their weird library and, like, go back to your room and... put it in and be like, what just happened to my life?
Totally. But it was still at a time when VHS tapes existed. Like, I think I have, like, a friend who still has VHS tapes, and
I have one friend too.
Yeah,
she loves them.
Yeah. Yeah. I which is great, but I don't know that I have a patience for a VHS tape. I don't even want to put a DVD in the DVD player half the time. I'm like, what's streaming? I don't want to deal with this. I have to get up and put this in and press play. What is all this?
I will definitely search.
I have to use a separate remote.
Yeah. I will definitely look through everything that I own, like Amazon or Hulu or Netflix or whatever, before I'll just, like, go to my collection and grab a DVD and put it in.
Always. Yeah, I had, like, this weird craving to watch Napoleon Dynamite. I don't know why. Like, I haven't watched that movie in, like, a decade. But I was like, you know, I really kind of want to watch that movie for some reason. And I own it. But, like, I was like, it's not streaming. I'm not going to watch it. Like, I'm so lazy. Okay. That's enough of that.
I definitely understand.
Yeah, I'm so lazy. Okay, so let's talk about... Let's do It Follows first. We were going to do these separately, but we filmed an entire episode of The Guest and realized, like, the way we were approaching it just was long-winded and kind of boring. So we're just going to kind of free-flow, talk about both of these movies. Oh.
That's my dog saying hello.
Oh, hi, Leia.
Leia, come here. And she's very nosy. She's like an old lady.
So let's talk about It Follows first, since we already talked about The Guest for like an hour and decided not to use it.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Sounds good.
So did you see It Follows in the theater? I think I remember doing that. Yeah.
Yeah, I went to go see it at the Vista. And I went with my friend Jason, who actually designed our logo.
It's so great. I love our new logo.
I love it.
It's so good.
And I went with my boyfriend and two of his friends. And we were very divided in I think my neighbor's mowing their lawn, of course. So we were very divided in me and Jason absolutely loved it. We loved everything about it, right down to the soundtrack, especially. And then the others who are a little bit more judgy about movies and not huge horror fans, they weren't like huge fans of it, but I loved it. I thought it was phenomenal.
I think it's great. It's an original take. It's got a new kind of monster. I'm always down for new kinds of monsters.
Absolutely.
You know, I know that the director said that, you know, they were big on the Carpenter thing, and you can kind of tell there's like kind of that artsy type of feel to it, you know, timelessness, kind of like the same thing that's with The Guest. Like, you can't quite tell what time period it is. Even more so with this, because they do a lot of weird stuff with like old cars, and then sometimes there's new cars, and sometimes there's like granny panties, which I'm just like, you know, what year is this? But then other times there's like a shell necklace. I'm like, is it the 90s? What year is it?
Seriously. And then they had like the shell compact
right
e-reader thing to make it very neutral, but then they also had cell phones.
Yeah,
and it's very, it's all over the place.
It is,
it's great.
It is. I love that part of it, and I like it when movies do that. But some people hate it. I get if people hate it. I personally love that about it. It feels
I don't mind it, because it's always going to feel somewhat current or somewhat retro.
Right. And it, you know, it makes it feel dreamy, too. Like, I feel like it's like kind of like how I would dream. Like, you know, it's normal, like it's familiar, but then there's also like this weird twist to it where it feels kind of uncomfortable at the same time.
Right.
So let's just talk about some of the scenes that struck us as interesting and thought-provoking. Did you have one in particular that bugged you or made you think a little bit more?
There's one that bugged me. I will say I absolutely love the way that this movie starts out.
Yeah.
I love the opening scene of this movie because you're not really sure what's going on, but it's definitely like it grabs your attention, and you want to keep going. You know, like you, it's not just like a regular, you know, she knows it's coming. She's trying to figure it out. Her family and her neighbors are like, "Are you okay? Like, what? Why are you running around in heels and a nightgown or a nightie? Like, what's happening?" And then, like, she's, like, calling her parents and apologizing. And I'm just like, this is what's happening. I want to know more.
Yeah.
So I love the way that the movie just, like, kind of grabs you right from the beginning. I will say, also, there's going to be a lot of spoilers.
Oh, yeah.
As just to preface that. The one scene that I didn't really know what happened was the boat scene.
Yeah, the boat scene.
The end of the movie.
Yeah.
Where she swims out to these guys on a boat, and you're like, did she do them? Why did she swim out there? I don't really know what that scene was about.
Here's my theory. Now, I watched that scene about 5 times because I know that's like a big deal scene with people. Like, some people are like, what the hell happened? It's the same thing with the prostitution scene at the end with Paul driving by the prostitutes, where you're like, I think it's just to show they're contemplating it and they're like not able to do it. Because after she gets back, Paul comes to her door and is like, hey, are you thinking about passing it on? And she says, I can't do that again. You know, after she gives it to the neighbor, she's like, I can't do it again. And that's when
she gives it to him.
She does. But that's a whole different like thing. I feel like she can't give it to someone without them knowing about it. I feel is
right.
Like the real thing, because that's when they start to go to like the pool idea where, well, let's electrocute it in a pool. Like, I don't know why they think that's going to work. It's a terrible idea, but you know, they're kids. So whatever, they're like figuring it out. But I think ultimately it makes sense upon like a second and third viewing that she doesn't feel right giving it to anybody. It does seem contradictory that she does give it to Paul at the end, but he's very insistent.
He just wants to do her so bad.
So,
the whole movie.
So badly that he's willing to die for it.
In
a very horrible way.
I think that it would make sense, though, that Becky would totally have sex with a prostitute and give it to them. And then, like, obviously the prostitute has sex pretty much daily. So, yeah. Like, that would be a really smart way to get rid of it.
Yeah, but I don't think he did that. And we can get to that. I have a whole theory on that as well. But
But the boat.
So I don't think she gave it to the guys in the boat. I don't think she could go through with it. It really bothered me that she got her cast wet when she was swimming.
Oh my god, I was going to say that. I was going to say it doesn't even bother me if she had sex with him, if she didn't. Right. But like, number one rule is you can't get your cast wet.
It's like a mogwai. You can't do
exactly.
that.
Like, and then it's still intact when she's in her car. I'm like, I'm sorry. Yeah. I have to call bullshit here. I mean, this whole movie is about this, like, basically murdering STD, and right. I'm having an issue with the cast.
She keeps getting the cast wet. She does it not give a shit. I guess if you're, like, thinking you're gonna die at any minute, maybe you don't give a shit about your cast, but, yeah. The one part I wanted to talk about was, you know, towards the beginning when her friend Yara, the girl with the reader compact, is reading The Idiot by Dostoevsky. And, you know, her friends ask her, hey, what's it about? And she says, Paul. You know, it's supposed to be a joke, like, Paul's an idiot.
Right.
But in reality, like, Paul is supposed to be the idiot. You know, based on the novel, which I admit I have not read, but I know that the basic plot of it is this guy that is basically super kind in nature and a good person and is compassionate and will do anything for people. It's like, that is Paul. And confusing his compassionate nature with being an idiot,
yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, well, you know, kind of he is an idiot, but he's an idiot for noble reasons,
right?
He's not an idiot for selfish reasons. He's not a selfish person at all. So is he an idiot, or is he just so compassionate that, you know, his own well-being doesn't come first?
Which can make you an idiot. Putting yourself second all the time isn't always the best thing, especially for you.
Right.
So I can see how that.
Yeah, I mean, his love for her makes him idiotic, I guess. But I mean, it's kind of sweet and romantic. And the only reason it doesn't feel sweet and romantic is because she obviously doesn't really reciprocate those feelings for him.
Right.
I wish that I felt that she did a little bit more, at least at the end. I think she, I don't know, the part where they're holding hands and walking down the street, you start to feel like maybe she loves him a little more, but I wish they played that a little bit heavier towards the end.
I agree. It definitely kind of just felt like, well, this is my life.
Right. Right. But I mean, it's, in reality, it's great to have someone by your side who can feel the same way you're feeling, see the same things you're seeing, and experience life the same way you're experiencing it. Even if it's terrible, at least you're, like, going through it together and you're not alone.
Exactly.
And that's, like, the main point, I think. I don't know. It's, I love this movie. I don't want it to sound like I don't. There's definitely some plot holes and some weirdness where you're like, what really happened there? But I think for the most part, it's a great movie. Also, like, the director basically did nothing before this. It's pretty amazing, when these directors come out of nowhere and can just do these amazing films. So
I agree, especially one that really kind of took everyone by surprise.
Right.
And I mean, it wasn't like movies like The Guest, where it became popular once it kind of was available for streaming. Like, this movie, you know, hit the film circuit and then came out and was actually, like, released in theaters. Obviously, like, not super widely, but people wanted to see this movie, and they're, like, they wanted to see it in theaters.
Well, it was supposed to be VOD. It was supposed to, like, you know, do the indie circuit and then be on VOD, and instead they were like, no, let's do a theater release, which, I mean, that doesn't happen all the time. That's pretty impressive, especially, you know, when this, you know, is your first effort.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I really like it. I don't, the some things I don't like about it are, I don't like the pool scene as much. I keep wanting that scene to be like from Let the Right One In. Did you ever see that movie?
I loved that
movie. I love that movie too. And every time they threw at like that giant pool, I'm like, oh, I kind of wish this scene turned into the pool scene in Let the Right One In.
Yeah. That was
which is like one of my favorite scenes ever. I love that one. I think, you know, it was all right. It makes sense. They're dumb kids. But that whole thing, I'm like, you guys are making really bad decisions all over the place. but at least they're making them together, I guess. You know, there's definitely a nice togetherness and friendship. Like, it's nice to see friends really trust each other and stand up for each other in the way that her friends stand up and help her.
Absolutely. Like, even, obviously, they can't see this thing. And even before that one scene where they see, like, her hair getting pulled.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, it's Paul, right, that gets, like, thrown across the thing or something like that. Like, before they see things that they can't really explain, they do trust her and they do want to make her not feel like she's crazy. Like, obviously, she went through something kind of traumatic with just being dropped off, like, in her underwear at home after, like, her date with that guy.
Right.
But, like, they're very supportive friends even before they see, like, oh, my God. She's telling the truth. She's not completely insane.
Yeah, they're super supportive from the beginning. Like, it's great. They don't do that a lot in movies. Usually it's like, you know, and at first there's some doubt. You know, when she goes to get ice cream after being in school and thinking and finding out that lady, the old lady's following her or whatever, and she goes to the ice cream shop and they're like, no, you're, you know, no one's following you. You're fine. But, like, after, when she's so insistent, they really... They know something's wrong and they're there for her, which you don't always see unless, I don't know. It's a nice change of pace, I think, to have for her to have such a nice support system.
I agree.
The parents in this film are like non-existent, basically.
I love how they like never show their faces.
They don't. The mom is obviously an alcoholic, right? She's drinking freaking booze out of a teacup. Like, there's wine bottles everywhere. Yeah, and that one's the one scene that really makes me this whole movie makes me think of Nightmare on Elm Street a little bit. The scene where she sees the neighbor walking down the street in his long johns, and he's, you know, going to his own house, and it's obviously the monster.
Yeah,
and she's screaming at the window. It just reminds me of Nancy in Nightmare on Elm Street.
Totally,
It's so similar. I want to play them really side by side because, yeah, it's obviously that. And the neighbor kid looks kind of similar to Johnny Depp a little bit.
He absolutely
does. Yeah, he does, right? And his murder was horrifying. That scares me.
It was absolutely, I mean, oh, man.
When the mom is, like, banging on the door. And she comes up and it just stops and looks at her. Ugh. All the chills. I get all the chills at that that scene.
So that's probably one of my favorite scenes in the movie.
I love that part. I love it. It's so terrifying. She's like, you're next. You might want to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
So
run.
Yeah. Yeah. Horrifying. Wow. Yeah. But yeah, what a good movie. I really like it a lot and think it's one of the best modern horror movies that's come out in recent memory.
It's so funny that, because that the guy that plays the neighbor dude, I never really thought about him as looking like Johnny Depp necessarily in It Follows, but he's on Fear the Walking Dead. He's like the main junkie kid.
Okay.
And like, that's all I can think about whenever I watch Fear the Walking Dead is how much this character just looks and acts like a drugged out Johnny Depp. So, just
wanted to point that out. Doesn't look like Johnny Depp in every scene, but there's a couple scenes where I'm looking at him like, they made you look like Johnny Depp on purpose. They must have done something to you.
And I swear, have you watched Fear the Walking Dead at all?
No.
It's on Hulu, the first season.
I'm taking a zombie break.
I understand, but like he plays like a character that's like hooked on drugs, mm-hmm. and so he's like kind of skinny, and his hair's like always in his face, and he's very reminiscent of of Johnny Depp.
Yeah,
it's
like
person.
Skeet Ulrich in like Scream, right? You know, where he's supposed to be the Johnny Depp kind of guy. You know, I like that. I like just
I
throw
love
guys in
it.
that look
I
like
love it
Johnny
so
Depp, and
much.
everyone will think of it. You know, everyone will think of Halloween, or not Halloween, Wes Craven and Nightmare on Elm Street, and you know, whatever.
And young Johnny Depp in a belly shirt.
I forgot about the belly shirt.
So
Oh, I need to rewatch Nightmare on Elm Street. That's one
Oh
of
man, a
so
couple of
good.
months ago they did at this the New Beverly Theater. I live in LA. That's right down the street from my house. It's actually owned by Quentin Tarantino, but I think twice a year they have like all night movie nights or whatever themed. And I think last year maybe or 2 years ago they did Friday the 13th, but a couple months ago they did Nightmare on Elm Street. And so we watched all seven, I guess, up until Wes Craven's new Nightmare on Elm Street or movies, and it was just amazing. It
Fuck,
was
I hope you went on like a long bathroom break during the second one, because fuck that movie.
That movie is
That
hilarious.
movie is so weird and not good. Like, I
I
don't.
definitely fell asleep in some of the movies, but they had the was it the fifth or sixth movie where there's that like weird 3D break?
Yeah, I forget
That
which
was the
one.
thing
F I
that
think it's
happened, and it
five.
was
I don't know. It's been a while since I've watched all of them.
I hadn't watched them in a really long time, and you know, especially back to back, once you kind of get into the four, five, and six of any kind of horror genre, you rarely watch them all back to back. But they actually made a lot of sense, and I was surprised at how cohesive that series
Yeah,
is.
it really is. It's pretty good. I think in college, Mike had my friend Mike had all of the box set. So it was all of the movies. I think even New Nightmare was on there, which it really had no business being in there, but whatever. We powered through it. I think one weekend we just watched all of them, and yeah, I fell in love with the franchise after that. Like, I love those
It's
movies. They're
really
so
great.
good.
I'm seriously just super surprised at how cohesive they all
Yeah.
were. I remember, I think there was actually Kenny, my friend Kenny, we all went to college
Yes,
together
we did.
for
Hey, everyone who's listening, we're going to randomly talk about people we went to college with.
exactly.
No, but just a little
We had
backstory. I guess we could tell people. We're both from New York, and we both moved to the West Coast, and we hadn't talked for probably 10 years, right?
Just about,
10
yeah.
years until maybe 2 months ago when I was like, I want to start a horror podcast. Carly lives in LA, and we kind of touch base on Facebook every once in a while. And I was like, "You like
Yep.
horror movies? I like horror movies. Let's do this."
Let's talk about
Yeah.
horror
So,
movies.
yeah. So
Here we are.
we're rekindling our friendship after about a decade, which is kind of
It's a beautiful thing.
insane and lovely. It's wonderful. So anyway,
Podcast people
continue.
together.
Kenny, your ex-boyfriend who lived in my hallway. Continue.
Yes. He purchased like the sixth or fifth, whatever the 3D one is, with the 3D glasses. And I remember us being so excited to watch it, and then it just being like such a bummer because
Not
like
nearly as good.
it was kind of like you had to like squint in your
Right.
eyes because it was like obviously probably about more than 10 years ago at this
Yeah.
point. So there was zero like 3D technology. It was still like the red and blue,
Right.
and on your TV that doesn't necessarily translate
It
as well.
doesn't
And so
at all. Like,
it was kind of like, what is happening? I guess. And I literally think we watched it once, and then that was it.
I
That
feel like I
was.
did that too, and I don't know if the box set had a copy of the glasses in it or not, but I think it did, and I think, you know, we were like trading back and forth the glasses to see if it worked, and it didn't. It was like,
And we're just like, my
yeah,
eyes hurt.
this
Is it
is
over
just
yet? Can we
blurry.
watch it
It's
without
just
it?
blurry and
Yeah.
weird. It's not even, it doesn't have much of an effect. It's probably better in the theater, you know. But yeah, you know, it's gotten better since then. They should do that again. Did when you saw all the movies together, did they have Did they give you glasses for the 3D one? Oh, they did. That's awesome.
Yeah. And it was really cool because they were the same ones that they, I'm guessing, used for the release. Yeah. Like, they looked exactly like the ones that they had in the movie.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was really, it was fun. I still have them. It was a fun little...
I'm so jealous of all the cool events you get in LA. I really need to, like...
It's 90% of the reason why I live here is to be able to go to all the
fucking
cool...
I don't like driving to LA. It's not an enjoyable experience.
Honestly, I love San Diego so much. And before I moved to LA, it was where I wanted to live in California. But now that I live in LA, like, I don't think I would be able to give up all of the little perks and things like that from all the, you know, small movie theaters here.
I'm going to have to come up and visit you more because there's so many fun events up there.
You're going to have to come up for Universal Horror Nights because they have a lot of really cool, what are they called? Mazes that they do. That, like, and this year, I think they're, like, all throwbacks to, like, old horror movies. So awesome. We'll plan it.
Sounds good.
And then we'll talk about it.
I like both of those things. So, okay, I guess we're done talking about It Follows. Is there anything else you want to talk about with It Follows?
So I guess to sum it up, I really liked It Follows a whole lot. I absolutely loved it when I saw it in theaters. I'm not going to lie, when I revisited it at my house, I definitely fell asleep. but not because it's boring. I think maybe I was just tired, but I really, it's good. I definitely think that everybody should see it and definitely get the soundtrack.
Oh my God, awesome. Yes, the music. The music in both of these movies we're covering today, phenomenal. So good. Okay. All right, let's cut it out for It Follows, and let's talk about The Guest a little bit.
Been on to The Guest. Oh my God,
can we first, before we jump in, talk about that tweet I sent you earlier? Okay, yes. So I sent Carly a tweet either today or yesterday. I think it was yesterday. And it was from this guy. His Twitter handle is @HeyWingspan. And he tweeted Simon Barrett, who's the writer, and Adam Wingard, and said, "Hey, is this a coincidence? I'm going to have to post this picture on our website." It's a picture of the skull. For those I'm going to assume you've seen The Guest, or else I'm going to ruin it for you. But in the last scene of The Guest, when they're at the school, they have the three masks on the wall, which are from Halloween 3. And the skull picture in the background has a Blair Witch symbol on its fucking forehead.
Like the wooden Blair Witch.
Yeah, like the stick person figure is literally on the skull's forehead. And
blew my mind.
Absolutely blew my mind. He sent it to, he tweeted it at the writer and the director of the new Blair Witch movie, who also did The Guest and who also did Their Next. And it was like, "Hey, is this a coincidence?" And Simon Barrett just retweeted it. He said jack shit about it because I wanted to strangle him. I was like, "Can you please just say that this was on purpose?" I mean, obviously it's on purpose, right? Like,
I feel like it has to be. I feel like there's no way that it can't.
It's not
be.
Like kind of like the Blair Witch symbol. It is the Blair Witch symbol.
It is like right across this.
And it's very blatant. And I don't know how I missed it. Although when I first saw The Guest, I didn't know that they were doing the Blair Witch. So I wasn't really looking for anything like that. But fuck. I like.
That was like The Guest. Was like 2 years ago.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, they had to have known that they were going to do The Woods, which is the Blair Witch. They had to have at least had an idea that this was happening or at least been in the writing stages. I imagine they were in the writing stages.
And they're really big into Easter eggs in their
they
movies
are.
Anyway. They have a lot of things that are from their older movies.
Right. They have.
Or movies.
Yeah, they have their next masks. At the party scene, they have "You're Next" written on the wall in the haunted maze. And so it makes sense that they would have this Blair Witch symbol. And it's so prominently displayed. And I'm just I rewatched that scene, Carly, right before we started recording because I wanted to be sure that it.
I was like, I need to rewatch it because that could just be like internet magic.
Right. I thought maybe someone really maybe photoshopped it or something. But no, it's there and it's blatant. And it's not just in one scene that you can see it. You can see it in quite a few. So they're assholes. But also awesome. I love that they did that.
I think it's so great. Awesome. I love
it. It really is great.
And I love that he didn't say anything.
He didn't say anything. He just retweeted it. He's like, yep. So I retweeted it. And, like, nobody really said much. I think, you know, I got the guy from Modern Horrors podcast, to Luke Rodriguez, to kind of say, like, he thinks it's true also. But, I mean, there's no debating it. It's there. It's fucking there. And it's not like the Halloween 3 mask in real life has a Blair Witch symbol on the front. That doesn't make any sense. I mean, it's obviously they put that there.
They knew what
it's awesome. And I freaked out about it because I'm a nerd. Like, that's not even a thing to freak out about. What am I doing?
I think it is. I think it's something that's super interesting and, like, haha. I wonder if, like, they thought that anybody would ever notice it.
I think they probably did. I think now they're probably waiting, you know? It's probably why Simon Barrett retweeted it.
That's very true.
I love Simon Barrett. He's a great writer. Props to him. I love that they're doing a bunch of remakes and sequels because, you know, remakes and sequels are going to happen anyway. At least Simon Barrett's a really good writer and can do something interesting and new with it. I have high hopes for all of these new movies coming out. Yeah. So, anyway, I think The Blair Witch is going to be rad, Carly. I want you to...
I will believe
it. I wish I could just get you to believe it now.
I will be on board.
I know. I know. I get it. I get it, but I still want you to be excited about it anyway.
I'm excited to see a Blair Witch in theaters, but I'm also, like, a little hesitant. But I believe.
I'm glad. I'm glad you believe.
I'm excited about it. I'm excited that I really enjoy Adam Wingard's and Simon Barrett's other films together. Yeah. That makes me feel a good bit team. Better about it.
They really are. Because and when they made The Guest, Adam Wingard's like, hey, I want to do, like, Halloween, but I also want Michael Myers to be really charming. Like, yeah, and Simon Barrett just fucking went with it. Like, he did it, and he did a great job of writing it. I mean, to be honest, it's really creative and interesting idea, and he just ran with it and made this fantastic
screenplay. And they made the dude from Downton Abbey a total badass.
And a babe. And a total babe.
The adorable chubby dude, not that he's, like, chubby, but, like, he definitely dropped a lot of pounds and put on a lot of muscle for this.
Right.
Movie. Technically, he gained weight because he had done a movie before this where he was, like, super gaunt, like, machinist style
skinny. Nobody needs to see that.
Yeah. So he put on 30 pounds of muscle to be David, and I thought it was really cool reading that they filmed different scenes through, like, with different parts of his skinniness and buffness to make him seem kind of smaller and meeker in certain scenes and then more kind of, like, threatening in others.
Yeah. Should we just talk about the bathroom scene for the next 30 minutes? I feel like that's probably the only scene that matters in this movie.
I mean, I feel like they spent the most time filming it, so it only makes sense that we would spend the most time talking about it.
I heard that there was a guy in the bathroom part of the set that was waving a fan, so the smoke machine would make the steam come out at just the right angle. Yeah, no, it's fantastic. He's glistening. They put a lot of effort into it. I, for one, am glad. I mean, that's some quality filmmaking right there.
They did a great
Dan
job.
Dan Stevens.
And so did Dan Stevens.
And a towel.
Way to go, buddy.
Rocking it.
So, get it. And Micah Monroe just being like, whoa.
I mean, Micah Monroe is a great actress, but let's be honest, that was not the hardest scene for her to have to act in. Because she's even admitted in quite a few interviews that he's a babe. Like, I've heard her talk about it multiple times.
Perfect.
But yeah, that scene. So, like, he's wearing a towel. He's, like, glistening, right? He's just beautiful.
Yeah. He is a sparkly and human.
They starved him that day. They starved him.
They did give him a Diet Cola.
They starved him. They gave him a Diet Cola, and then they made him do 100 push-ups and 100 sit-ups.
To get his muscles, or his skin, like, shrink-wrapped on top of his muscles.
Shrink-wrapped. Oh, that's so vivid and kind of makes it disturbing, but I like it. It's like shrink wrapped.
They're like, this guy has worked very hard on his six pack, and we want
welcome to the Final Girls Horror Cast, where we perv out over Dan Stevens for 30 minutes.
That's why we had to talk about it second, so we didn't waste all of our time talking about the guest. Right. And follows got 2 minutes.
Well, we prepared this. We had a plan of attack, and we went with it. And
we did. Yeah. We followed through.
Anyway, thank you, Dan Stevens, for taking one for the team, starving yourself, working out, so that I could pause my I'm not going to go there. My mom might listen to this. Sorry, Mom. Anyway, okay, enough perving out. So the guest is great. I love how they can pay homage to Halloween and Carpenter without copying Halloween and Carpenter. Like, I especially, like, love the scene with the white sheet in the wind, and you know, Dan Stevens is just standing right next to it. It's very similarly shot than the scene in Halloween where Mike Myers is standing next to the white sheet. I just love little things like that. Like, it's not copying it. It's just like, hey, remember this? And I'm playing with it. You know, I love that.
It's so good because it's definitely one of those movies that, especially by, like, the at least what you see on Netflix. I don't know if the cover art for, like, the DVD is the same, but you don't really know what kind of movie that it's going to be. And you start watching it and you know something is off about this guy. But, like, when we were talking in the super long podcast that you will never hear. Hopefully. Maybe when we're, like, really secure in what we're doing, we'll release it and be like,
I should delete it
and
burn it.
But, like, never again. But you really like this character, even when he, like, starts doing things that make you kind of feel uncomfortable. And I feel like, kudos to Dan Stevens for making this really bizarre guy. Like, you know, you're like, you know what? It's okay that he did that. I get it. It's fine.
We support him through so much shit that he does. Because he's so charming and lovable. It's like, I don't know how you make a monster charming and lovable, but they freaking succeeded with that. That's the wine talking where I can't say the word succeeded. Sorry about that.
And it's really amazing because, I mean, you definitely are like, well, he definitely murdered people. But at the same time, you're like, he's really taking care of
the family that you love and care about. You know, he loves it. It seems like he loves and cares about them, too. So he does this thing. It's not till the end that you realize, like, he's just viewing them as, like, a mission. Like, you know, his mission is to take care of them. And, you know, it ends up that he doesn't even end up taking care of them like he did for a period of time. And he's like, oh, I've been compromised. My other mission is more important, you know. And he's some sort of weird cyborg hybrid.
Even when he, like, murders the mom, I'm like, the mom shouldn't have told, like, shouldn't have given
him up.
You're
defending him when he kills the mom.
She was like... Yeah, if she was like, just take out the back, David, she would have been totally fine. But no, she was like, he's in here.
Yeah, I don't think
obviously.
I was out on David until he threw the grenades in the diner. And I was like, that's some fucked up Joker shit. Like, I can't get behind you throwing grenades at innocent people in a diner. It's hard. It's hard to get past that part.
Yeah. It's like, I understand that he had to, like, you know, he was kind of in self-preservation mode and had to kill everybody that knew about him.
But he doesn't have to look so gleeful about it. Like, he looked downright happy about it.
I just think that he doesn't have any emotion. He's just like, whatever. Even when he, like, has sex with that girl, he's just like, what do you want me to do? Okay, I'll be more aggressive, I guess. Like, he just really doesn't have any emotion.
He's basically a robot that has, like, a charm feature. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's his abs.
It is. He keeps his charm feature in his abdomen.
That's how we went over Micah Monroe. She was super judgy about him, and then she, like, thought she was walking in on Luke, her brother, and David opens the door in a towel.
Are we back at, like, the bathroom scene? We can't get past the fucking bathroom scene.
See how I did that? I was like, you thought we were over it. Nope.
Let's talk about it some more. Every podcast we do from now on, we talk about the bathroom scene.
Remember that time in The Guest?
You know, this scene really reminds me of that part in The Guest where we get to see Dan Stevens with no shirt on. Let's talk about that some more.
Total babe. I'm just going to say, I really liked him on Downton Abbey, and then I saw him in this, and I was just like, oh, hey now. Why do you look so familiar? And I had to IMDb it to make sure that I was correct in my thinking.
Were you?
I sure was.
I knew the answer to that question. I don't know why I asked it. I'm so stupid.
I also keep thinking Micah Monroe is chick from Harry Potter.
Really?
Luna Lovegood. Yeah, and I know that they're not. Like, whenever I, like, see what that chick looks like now, it's, like, not the same. But whenever, like, I see Micah Monroe, well, and I guess I've only really seen her in two movies, but I'm always like, is that? And then I look it up, and I'm like, no, it's
not. I love how she's totally in both girl. Of these movies. We totally didn't plan it that way. It works.
But it works.
I didn't even realize when I saw The Guest, because I watched It Follows first, and I had no idea when I saw The Guest that she was the same person until I was like, hey, let's do both of these movies. And you're like, hey, she's in both of them. And I'm like, I had no clue. Some, oops.
Surprise.
I'm very good at paying attention to things. Yeah. Anyway.
Me too, apparently.
She's a great actress. I like her a lot. I hope she does more horror movies. I like her in horror movies. She
I do too. She's really believable.
She makes a good female hero. I like that. I don't know why I said female before hero. Of course women can be heroes. Girl power. Heroine. I just don't like saying heroine. I feel like I'm talking about drugs and then it feels weird. I don't like that word. Let's not use it. I'm just going to say hero.
No. Okay.
And then that's that. She's a hero.
She's a hero.
End.
She's been in a lot of stuff. I didn't even, like, notice. She was in... I didn't see the new Independence Day, but she was in that.
I don't know about that.
She's got, like, six movies coming out, too.
Well, good for her. She wasn't even trying to be an actress. She, like, fell into it. She was a dancer, I think, or something. I don't remember. I'm terrible at this. I've been drinking. I had all of this written down. I don't know where I put it.
We're just going to the wind with any of the notes.
I know. Okay. So are we done talking about The Guest already?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, please watch it before you listen to this. I know that's kind of like retroactive, but.
Oh, yeah. If you haven't watched it, you have no idea what we're talking about through most of it. But it's really great, and I was really surprised by it, and I'm definitely on board with both of this writer-director team, and I'm really curious to and excited to see what they are going to make in the future, including Blair Witch.
Yes, so I just heard you say you're excited about Blair Witch. Did I just hear that? I think I just heard that. Oh my God, I'm so excited.
You do, and you have it on
yes
recording.
I have proof. So I love it. I love it. Watch this movie suck. And then I have to go on this podcast and say that I didn't like it. I'm going to see Don't Breathe tomorrow.
Oh, nice. I don't know how I feel about Don't Breathe,
but I'm going to see it anyway.
I partly wish that they didn't give away that blind guy is a psycho in the trailer. I'm really judgy about, I feel like I'm more judgy about trailers than I am about the movie themselves, because I hate when people get paid to make things that, like, give away all of the good parts in movies. And I'm not saying that that's what happened with this movie, but I feel like they had something so special where, like, these kids are going to basically rob an old man that they could have done it in such a way.
I'm just going to go ahead and throw this out there. No idea
what they were getting themselves.
What if the blind man is actually good and the trailer makes you think he's bad?
I mean, if there's a way that they can make it look like this guy has this weird underground haven where he keeps women trapped.
I mean, obviously, I'm just fucking around.
I will bow down to those trailer cutters and be like, you blew my mind.
I don't know. I don't usually like movies like this. I'm not usually a fan of the torture. I feel like there's going to be, like, torture or, like, women being abused. And I have a hard time watching all that shit. But, I mean, lately I've been seeing so many good ones that I haven't cared. You know, movies like, what did I watch recently? I watched, like, Bone Tomahawk. Usually that would not be in my wheelhouse, and I fucking love that movie. And Green Room, usually that wouldn't be in my like, type of movies that I watch. But I love that movie, too. So I'm willing to, like, go outside of my comfort zone a little bit and see Don't Breathe and just hope for the best. But we'll see. I'll talk about it next time and tell you how I liked it.
I wish that, like, even if they, honestly, even if they made it so, like, I don't know, I really wish that they would have, like, tweaked the trailer in a way that, like, maybe this guy isn't bad and he's just defending himself. I feel like that they gave away that he, like, keeps people in his basement. And, like, again, I've never seen the movie, so I don't know if that's, like, what happens, but that's what it seems to be in the trailer. Like, they could have kept that hidden and it would have been like,
well, they alluded to it, but they didn't actually show him doing anything wrong. Let's be honest, there's people fucking breaking into his house and he shoots one of them. Like, that happens in Texas every day. I mean, I imagine, I don't know. Perfect. I don't know what happens in Texas, but people love shooting intruders in Texas. That's how I feel about it.
But yeah, so, like, I truly feel like, I don't know. I'll see the movie and then we can talk about it further. Maybe I'll go see it tomorrow as well. And then we can talk about it a little bit before our next movie film. I will also drop out there, because I hope we talk about this movie sometime in the future. So you should go see it. The Invitation I watched, like,
oh, it's so good.
This past weekend.
It's so good.
Holy shit. That movie.
I'm so glad you liked
blew
it.
Blew my mind. I loved it. I loved it because obviously I didn't know really anything going into it. I saw somebody on my Facebook post something like probably a couple weeks ago or like at the beginning of August, like, hey, if you're bored and you want to watch a movie, I recommend watching Invitation. And so I put it on my list and I started watching it one night and I fell asleep. And then finally, like this past week, I was like, oh, I'm going to watch it. And it blew. I had no idea what was going on throughout the entire thing.
I had it on my watch list for a long time. So the second it was available to watch, I did. Because Andrew Jupin works in the film industry or whatever. He works at a theater and gets to watch all the cool movies. I think the Jacob Burns Theater in New York City he works at. And he goes to, like, film festivals and stuff. And he said it, like, almost a year ago, I think, like, this movie's awesome. You need to watch it. And the second he said that, I put it on my watch list. And the second it was on Netflix, I watched it. I loved it. You know, he was totally right. It's a great movie.
It's so good. I definitely, if you haven't seen it, which I know a lot of people haven't, put it on your list. Watch it as soon as you can. Even if you're like, if you're just in the mood for something a little different.
We'll talk about it eventually.
It's so good. It's not going to even...
Yeah.
I'm not even going to say anything about it because it's just one of those movies that's just, you can't, just don't research
Just
anything
watch
going
it.
into it. Just sit down and watch
Yeah, I
it.
feel the same way. It's on Netflix, if I didn't say that already. So, okay, so next week we're going to be doing two movies again. Are you going to be up for that, Carly? And we didn't discuss that. Okay, so we're going to be
Heck yeah,
doing
I
two
am.
movies I already saw, and Carly hasn't seen either of them. So I'm basically making you watch two movies from scratch because I'm an asshole.
I love it. I'll
So
probably
Ex
watch them both at
Machina
least twice before.
and Under the Skin. So, not really
Yes.
horror. Ex Machina is more like sci-fi thriller, and Under the Skin does have like more of a horror aspect to it, I think, but it's muted. It's not gory particularly, or even it's very slow moving. And so make sure you have some coffee before you watch it. But it's totally worth watching, and I think both of these films are underrated. I think maybe Ex Machina is not underrated, but Under the Skin, you don't hear much about it, and I really love that movie. I really think it's worth watching. Both of those movies are on Amazon Prime, and perhaps somewhere else, but that's where I watched them. So if you have Amazon Prime, please watch those before our next episode, and we'll have some fun things to talk about there. Is there anything else you want to add, Carly, before we sign out of here?
I don't think so. I
Well,
all of my thoughts
let's
out.
give a quick
I'm
shout
good.
out to Jason, your friend Jason, who did our amazing artwork. I freaking love it. We just saw it today for the first time, and I'm obsessed with it.
It's so good.
I
I'm
was just
so
telling Sean from
excited
the
about
horror show,
it.
I was like, it's almost too good. Like, I don't know that our podcast can live up to how good our artwork looks. And we finally got our
He's the
music from Troy also,
best.
and he did a great job. Great job. You guys are
He
awesome.
really did. It's so cool and it
Check out
makes me
our
so
website,
excited.
ihatehorror.com/finalgirls. I'm gonna put all their information on there if you're interested in listening to more of Troy's music, or if you're interested in seeing more of Jason's designs, or interested in hiring him for whatever you might need. They're obviously awesome and super talented, and we're lucky to know such talented people that are willing to help us out with this stuff. They
Yeah, they made
did.
us
They
a
make
real
us look
profit.
professional. We don't make us look professional, but they do. Thanks, guys.
I know, that's all that matters.
So anyway, if you want to follow us on Twitter, I am at Final Girls HC, and I'm very active on there, so feel free to tweet at me. You can also email us at finalgirlshorrorcast@gmail.com. Carly, do you want to shout out any of your social media stuff?
Sure. I am mostly active on Instagram. And I'm at Sharks Are Forever, all spelled out normal, no numbers or whatever. And then I use Twitter sometimes, and I'm at Carly Michelle, but Michelle is
Awesome.
with one L.
Very cool. Well, you guys, yeah, come
Keep in
holler at
touch.
us. Let us know what
We
you
like
think.
friends.
Unless it's not nice. I don't want to hear any negativity. Just kidding. You can tell us how shitty we are. It's fine. I have got thick skin. I can take
We'll
it.
look at it as constructive
Yeah.
criticism,
Maybe.
probably.
Maybe. All right. So thanks, guys. We'll see you again soon. And I need to come out with a cool like sign-off phrase.
Stay classy,
I think that one's
Sam.
taken, Carly.
Oh, dang it.
Yeah, I'll get on that, and next week maybe
We'll
I'll have
figure
some
out.
ones to try out. Until then, we'll see you later. Bye.
Bye.